We just stepped on their face with a hobnail boot and broke their nose.
Talking about them fucking dogs. That's what I told them.
Hope it didn't take that long again. Go dogs.
Go dogs. You heard the man. What is going on? It is the 100 Sanford podcast. We are back. It's me. It's Coffee. It's the Big G coming on soon. He's stuck in traffic, but he's going to be here. Graham, where are you at?
So I'm on the side of Interstate 40 in eastern New Mexico, thereabouts. I was in Athens last Saturday to watch the beatdown between the hedges. And my wife and I, you know, we are both fully remote. So we bought a RV travel trailer type situation earlier this year. So yeah, man, I'm up here in the trailer. I'm chilling in my dinette. I got the Starlink linked up to a satellite dish so I can talk to you. I got three dogs laying on the floor next to me right now. There's a cat running around here somewhere too. So it's a pretty much a traveling zoo, maybe a traveling circus, depending on who you ask. But
bro, is wifey driving right now?
No. We're parked.
You're
for the
parked.
Night.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm gonna tell you, man.
I wouldn't be back here, you know. You'd see a little of this action going on, you know.
Yeah, right.
A little shaky.
First of all, that is true dedication, man. I mean, I don't know if anybody understands that, but that's true dedication to, you know, pull off on the side of the road, do a show. You guys gonna stay there for the night? Or you gonna, you know, go somewhere else more?
Yeah,
safe?
Yeah, we're here for the night. It's nice. Dark, you know. So I mean, yeah, we woke up this morning in. Oh man, where were we exactly? Let me see again. Hold on. All right. So this morning we woke up in Hinton, Oklahoma. It's about 20 miles east of Weatherford, Oklahoma, which is another place you've probably never heard of.
No, man. I've been to Oklahoma. I ain't heard of that.
We were at an RV park off of the original Route 66, which is kind of cool. Flat in every direction.
Yeah, it is.
Windmills in the distance, all that stuff. And then, we did make it all the way to Moriarty, New Mexico today. So we made some good time. We had about eight and a half hours in the car, and we're only about 4 hours from home when we wake up tomorrow. So
that's what's up, man. That's good stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, we've been in, we've been out in, on the East Coast for about 5 weeks. So we're heading back out here for Thanksgiving. And
you're gonna drive again?
We're staying out. I'm saying like we're heading home.
Gotcha.
For Thanksgiving, and then we'll be back out for Christmas, but airplane this time. So
I feel you, brother. Hey, I tell you what, man. Before we go any further, make sure you hit that subscribe button and like the video. We need your help to promote the show that you love, and we appreciate you as always. Head on over to IG, TikTok, Facebook, and the X as well. Like and forward on the show to all of your friends. Then, last but not least, go on over to Dog Central, the collaboration for the nation with all the great intel, pods, video, and everything you like getting from Dog Nation. Also, folks, we gotta plug somebody. He's a loyal listener. Everybody needs insurance. Everyone needs insurance, bro. So in order to make that happen, make sure you take care of your family. Hit up my guy, Justin Elijah, based in Texas, but a dog man through and through, who is licensed in all 50 states. He works with various major carriers, Mutual of Omaha, North American, AIG, and others, along with offering affordable options in life insurance, retirement plans, and others. Give him a call at 229-400-4759. And when you do, bark and tell him 100 Sanford sent you. Last but not least, folks, head on over to homefieldapparel.com. Mm. Our favorite spot to get unique, comfortable, and officially licensed NCAA apparel. Choose from a wide selection of Georgia apparel in over 150 of your favorite colleges. Division I, Division II, Division III. Graham is rocking something right now. I'm telling you, the stuff is comfortable, man. You're going to love it.
My wife steals the hoodies all the time.
All the time. I got my wife downstairs right now, man, looking up University of Pittsburgh stuff. You know, that's her alum. But holidays are coming, you know, so it's always useful and always convenient to use the online method and order gear with unique logos, mascots, and iconic moments of your favorite university. You have to get on there, order those things. Use the promo code 100SANFORD for 15% off your first order. That's 100SANFORD for 15% off your first order. And we promise you, I guarantee it, you will not be disappointed in the quality and the look of your newest collegiate item. So, with that being said, you were in Athens last week, Graham. Did you enjoy that beatdown, bro? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. To like game wise and just look, man, you know, I'm not gonna we talked about it a little bit last week on the pod. The Missouri crowd was, you know, not the most stellar I've ever seen in Sanford Stadium. Okay. Like, it's not, doesn't mean it was a bad crowd. It just means it wasn't the best crowd. So,
yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed the Ole Miss game. You know, it was cold. It was rainy. The metal bleachers were chilly on the butt. And what that did, I think, was kind of brought out, you know, the children were put to bed. You know, it was a 7:30 or 7 o'clock game, you know, like just did had that vibe even walking into the stadium where it was like, this crowd is rabid. Like this crowd is fired up, you know, a lot of hype around this game. And it felt like the crowd wanted to see Georgia make a statement. And then Georgia, you know, made that statement. And it took a little while for them, you know, to not a little while, but you know what I'm saying? Like Ole Miss did get the score to 14 all. And then it was just, so yeah, it was a lot of fun to watch. Really beautiful, like Veterans Day halftime show that went on. So you know, just the whole experience that Josh Brooks and the crew over there are putting on, from you know, getting into the stadium, getting out of the stadium, concessions, like everything is top notch. It's first class right now. It's the best I've ever seen it at UGA. And my, you know, 28 years of going to football games. So, yeah, man, it was a fun time.
Yeah. I mean, well, first of all, you can't beat it when you're a back-to-back national champion and things are just rolling, right? I mean, everything should be top-notch. If anything's below that, I mean, you're just at a piss poor university, in my opinion, but Josh Brooks is definitely one of the best ADs out there, if not the best. I mean, they are doing some fantastic things down there at Georgia. I was not there, obviously, but I did watch this game on TV, and it looked better. The atmosphere looked better than it looked for against Missouri. That was the first thing. Even though it rained during, you know, the beginning of the day and everything else, like you said, it was cold and it was wet. It just felt like the atmosphere, the crowd was more electric. Maybe it's because it was a night game. I'm not sure, but it just seemed and felt more electric. It kind of went down the way that we talked about it, me, you, and Big G. It was a game that I never worried about in one bit. Even when it was 14-14, I said, you know, here it comes. And what did we say, man? They turned it on. And it was one of those things that as long as it didn't rain, they were going to blow that team out. And that's exactly what happened. I think all of us were like maybe a touchdown or 3 or 4 points off of our prediction. And it could have gotten much worse, quite honestly. I think they held off just a little bit towards the end. But they were clicking on all cylinders, man. And, you know, if it's not for those first couple of drives that Georgia continues to allow happen at the beginning of games, people would be talking about them being just as dominant as they have been the last few years. Because when they want to turn it on, they completely turn it on, bro. And when they want to just snuff teams out, they completely snuff teams out. But we also know that when Georgia makes those adjustments, it's over. It's lights out.
Yeah.
Nobody's better in the business with Kirby and having all of that maturity on that defensive side of the ball, it's unreal, right? The adjustments that this team makes and just completely takes an offense away from them, even from a guy like Lane Kiffin, who's very creative. I mean, we got to give Lane some, you know, big time.
They had some stuff schemed up those first
exactly. Drives, they did, but after that, I don't care what he schemed up. Nothing happened. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. No, I agree. Yeah, and I think that's what, like, fans, I think, need to realize is, you know, Georgia's number one team in the country. So, as a staff, as a team, as a group of players, like, you are going to come into that game and you are going to gear up all week to throw the best punch you can throw. And the reality of what Georgia's defense is right now, with how good the secondary is like, you can get game scripted out of the game really quickly against Georgia. Because if you fall behind by 14, 17 to Georgia and you have to play catch up through the air, you're not going to be successful. It's going to be hard to do. And so I think, like, you're seeing teams come into games and throw, you know, everything that they have, like the best stuff, whatever they've been saving in the back of the playbook. Like, you know, they come out and they break tendencies and they do it early with the hopes that, like, hey, if we can get a couple quick touchdowns, you know, maybe we got a shot to stay in this thing. And then you never know, like, maybe you get a turnover, maybe you get a big special teams play, like, who knows what happens. But Georgia, you know, they kind of weather that storm and then they adjust and figure out what's going on. And then it's kind of lights out from there. And I think the scary thing, if I was a future UGA opponent to look at, is that, like, Georgia's adjustments, at least the last couple of weeks from my view, in a lot of ways, especially against Ole Miss, was like, they just made things simpler. Like, they just basically said, like, all right, we're going to man up across the board. Linebackers, like, this is what you're doing. You know, nothing too complicated, no switching in and out of zones or, you know, passing guys off between areas in the zone. Like, y'all just go play and go be better than the guy across from you. And all 11 did that, and they did it really well. And I was very, very impressed with some of those youngsters on defense. Obviously, CJ Allen, but Kristen Miller, I thought, had a whale of a game.
Yeah, man, it's fun. It's exciting to see these guys grow up. And, you know, George talks about it all the time. You know, he says, look, that's a very difficult defense to learn. And yes, you might go to some other universities and be able to start right away as a freshman. You might be able to get a lot of time immediately with some other universities. A lot of the times it's because of necessity. You know, they're out there making mistakes. And yes, natural ability is just allowing these guys to play at a high level, or at least a moderate level, to be somewhat successful. But when you go to Georgia, you're relied on by 10 other guys, 9 other guys, 8 other guys on that side of the field. And those guys, you know, they want you to play at a high level, and you can't make mistakes. One thing about Georgia is that although we have seen some breakdowns early on, right, against some teams that earlier in the year. What's up, Big G?
Yo, what's happening? What's up? Man, guess what?
What?
You wouldn't believe this. Lamar, you froze? You got so surprised that I froze you up.
He is frozen, isn't he? I'm frozen. Listening to you.
I'm that handsome, huh? Man, I was gonna say, man, the dog's undefeated.
Still. Oh, again, they are dogs
again.
Undefeated. Can you believe?
Again, I know people are like rats.
It's wild, isn't it?
Dogs undefeated, man. Hey, it's just another week. We undefeated.
That's right.
Lamar is frozen.
Lamar's stunned by. I mean, I think, you know, it's just the G forces here we got going on, man. Now with two of us together on the screen, it's too much.
Yeah, man. What happened? G came on, and all of a sudden there was electricity that hit the hit the entire
that bandwidth up.
What is going on, bro?
I don't know, man. I tell you what, though, dog was undefeated again. Could you believe that?
Yes,
undefeated.
Sir.
Undefeated. The Bulldogs undefeated, man. Can you believe that? I didn't know if you knew that. We're still undefeated. You
trying to make that go viral again?
Yeah, man. But no, man. What y'all talking about, man?
Talking about them youngsters on defense and what they did to those Rebels.
Yeah, man. Give me some more in-depth. I watched the whole game. Of course, there's one guy that really stood out. He has double threes. But who else, you know, who else was doing that thing that you saw? You know, I know you watch with a different eye for your content.
Sure. Well, I was there on Saturday, so you know how it is. It's obviously different when you're at a game and kind of what you see and what you don't see sometimes. But I just noticed on those first couple drives that Ole Miss was – they were hitting some stuff in the run, and they were hitting some stuff up the middle that you don't normally see Georgia give up. And then number 52, Kristen Miller, the youngster, a defensive tackle, came in, and it felt like, you know, he immediately started knocking guys back. And, you know, even on plays where maybe he wasn't taking space from the offensive lineman in front of him, he was certainly holding his gap, and, you know, running backs were forced to bounce things outside where help was. So, I was very impressed with him, and I was impressed with Jordan Hall too, the true freshman defensive tackle, 44. There were some moments. I think we've seen him do some things in pass rush this year that have been good. And we kind of know that that's a part of his game, but I thought we saw more from him in run defense than we had at any point so far this year. So, it looks like Georgia's got another set of really good D tackles coming up.
Hey, Graham, I got to pause because you know what happens when we do our show. We get some of the best guests to come on to the show. And I'm going to let Big George, do the honors on this. But you know, we gotta introduce him the correct way, George. So here we go.
Could it be a dog?
I hope it's a dog.
Could it be a dog? You hear that fourth quarter music. Sorry for my crooked fingers for those that are watching. For real. You hear that fourth quarter music, man. You know what I'm saying? Is the guy that we got coming on right now has some history in the fourth quarter in Knoxville, you know, to say the least. You know, some real big history. One of the greatest calls in football history by the late, great Larry Munson. We got the man. Hey, you see the name right there, Hobnail Boot. Pass 44 hands. You know what I'm saying? Make sure they know what the play was. You know what I'm saying? Pass 44 hands. We got my man Baron Haynes in the house. UGA legend. You know, this guy, he came to us, you know, transferred to us and was an immediate impact. You know, started out blocking for people, you know what I'm saying? But listen, you do your job, then sometimes you get thrown a bone. And when he got thrown that bone, he didn't give it back. he didn't give it back, man. Thank you for joining us on 100 Sanford, man. How you doing?
What's up, my dog? What's up, my dogs? Yes, sir. What's going on, fellas? Yes,
what's up, Big Haynes?
Everything is well, man.
And another thing, you know, this guy right here, Lamar Lovelace, is a staunch supporter of the terrible towel wielding people up there in the Northeast.
He's
a big time Steelers fan.
I used to get a towel around here. Where the towel at? I used to get the towel hanging around.
Hey, Lovelace, let me tell you something, man. Listen, it was like heaven up there whenever we had all them dogs up there at one point, man. They couldn't go through a draft without picking up one of us.
At least.
Hines, you had Veron, you had Bell,
Arnold Harris, you had JT Wall, you had Greg Gibson, man, the list goes on, brother.
Yes, sir. Now you got Pickens up there.
Yes, sir. Doing his thing.
Gotta have some dogs, man.
You know why we have a championship standard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Year in and year out.
Yes, sir.
They got to come get us in the SEC, baby.
Hey, Big Haynes, man, let's get right into this, man. I mean, what's your biggest memory of this game, the Hobnail Boot game? What's your biggest memory from this?
Man, honestly, it was Coach Rick's first year, right? So I think that was our first time that we kind of relished and it kind of enlightened us to what that fourth quarter workouts that he had brought to us from his Florida State years, finish the drill. That was our motto. We had it on shirts. And before then, we hadn't worked. We worked. Trust me, we worked.
Work.
But yeah, it was a different kind of work. And George, you could attest to that.
Yeah, we didn't know. It kind of slapped us. Those guys that's been here, you know, I was juniors and seniors, it kind of slapped us in the face. It's like, whoa, man.
Because I tell you what, it wasn't about, you know, the media impact was to break us, right? And mm-hmm. and know that at some point in the season, this is going to come back and be the Achilles heel that propel us to victory, right? And you could have been perfect. Those first weeks of that mat drill, I don't care if you was like A1, that whole group, go back, do it again, at least three times. And we would look at each other, and then you want to fight your brother, right? Because it's like, what did you do? Like, come on, pick it up.
Yep.
Like, no, we were right.
Because it's on the whole group.
Yeah, it's on the whole group.
I think that started, and you just, I always want to give the props and give credit to Coach Rick and the system that he brought and how to work, because it obviously had worked before. Florida State had a program that was perennially in the mix of everything, yep, you know, from championships to always being right there in the thick of things toward the end of the year. And he brought that same style of preparation to Georgia. And we got better, you know. Yeah. We didn't get to the top of the mountaintop, but by in his second year, my senior year, we won the SEC.
Yeah.
You know, that hadn't been done in 20 years. We won the SEC, and then they won it a couple years later. Like, it was, you know, and then a string of just really, really good seasons, and it started with the attitude that he brought to Athens, and
late great Coach Van too.
Van Hallinger. Yep, the late great Van Hallinger with the strength program. We got stronger. We had more endurance, you know. And I was watching that the Hobnail Boot play today. Well, like the plays that right before, I didn't realize, and you know, I hadn't watched it in a while, I didn't realize it was so little time left
after
the screen that Steven scored on. It was like 40 something seconds.
Yeah. When Randy took that kickoff, right? And then
why would they, I don't know why they squibbed, but like,
I would be remiss, George, every time I talk about that play, right? And this weekend, I'll be remiss if I don't mention Damian Green, Damian Gary, Jermaine Phillips with the interception. I mean, mm-hmm. our defense balled and kept us in that game, right? You got Randy McMichael making those one-handed catches, mm-hmm. and kudos to David Green for playing out of his mind.
Yeah,
110,000 in front of 110,000 screaming fans. He doesn't get
a lot of the notoriety that he probably deserves for playing so well so young.
Right.
He came in. It was something Coach saw about him. You know, we had other talented guys. We had Shock. You know what I mean?
But that poise, but though.
He really liked David Green. And
yeah, he didn't get David rattled. Green,
and he didn't let him down.
Yeah, he didn't get rattled. To me, him and Coach Rick, like, personalities are similar, right? Like, they were just cool ice. I don't know if you remember this, George, but I had totally forgot about P44 Haynes. We hadn't ran it. We ran it when he came in. Right.
Yeah.
And you put it in training camp and stuff like that. But
yeah.
I had totally forgot. That wasn't in the playbook that week. Right.
Wow.
He's like, yeah, all right. So we're going to call a timeout. And then we call the timeout and we're on the sideline. And he goes, we're going to go with P44 Haynes. I'm like, oh my God, what do I do? Right? So I had to really think and recalibrate myself. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So get this. So he goes, David, you'll know right away if it's open and it'll be there, because we were out of timeouts at the time. He said, it'll be in cover two, you know, too high. And at the time, I didn't know how to read defenses, right? So, so he said, right. He said, I was a typical fullback. He was like, just see ball, get ball, and just hit somebody. But he said, you'll know right away if they're in cover two. If it's there, take it. It'll be wide open. If not, throw it away. We have another play. We'll call another play. Cool. Mm-hmm. So during the cadence, get this, he was going 232 quarters V. And I'm like, so now I know quarters is too high. And yeah. I know it's coming to me, right? Yeah. So it's like shaking in my
head. That had to feel crazy.
You were open by like 10 yards. What did that feel like? I mean, were you like almost scared you were gonna drop the ball? You were that open.
Did you see, like, if you slow it down, catching it like this? Now, like, it's a thing in football as almost being too open, right?
Yeah.
You almost want to be covered a little bit where you can, you know, it's like make it like practice, what you do every day in practice. I'm standing there and I'm open. And that ball stood up in the air for so long. It was like super slow motion, right? And then, thank God, I hung on just enough time to secure the catch. But yeah, that wouldn't have been good, man. You talk about going from the outhouse to the penthouse, or the penthouse to the outhouse, real quick, right? If that ball would have hit the floor.
How often do you get asked about this game? I mean, because you've done a lot of things in your career. You know, obviously now you're a Super Bowl champion as well. But how often do people go back to that particular game, that particular moment, and want you to rehash that?
Quite often. That's the notoriety play that I've particularly known for at Georgia. A lot of people remember where they were when it kind of happened, right? They like, I was there, or I was watching it with my dad, or, you know, I remember that like just yesterday. And because nobody put you in the game like Larry, right? And people would turn the TV volume down, cut the radio volume up, and Larry would put you in the game. So with that being said, everybody remembers that call because Larry put you in the game, and he made that a household marquee name and play in Georgia history. And kudos and shout out to Larry, man. Nah, I mean, nobody was better than Larry, the late great Larry Mountain.
Yeah. What people may not know, not that, you know, they should know, I'm an old raggedy lineman, but that's one play. I've been in some. I guess you would say defining plays at Georgia, but that play, I was not on the field.
Oh, really?
I know. I know people that most people say that I was on the field. People think, people talk all the time. They think I was on the field. We were in a situation that year when we got Big Ream, when we got Kareem Marshall. Yeah. It was three senior tackles. So it was me, Kareem, and Stinch. So Coach Callaway, to get us all playing, he rotated all of us. Like, it was every series, every other series, or whatever the case may be, we all rotated. So that wasn't my series. I was in them on the field goal afterwards, but I was not in that play. You know what I'm saying?
I never realized that, George.
I was in the play that Michael Johnson caught. Ream wasn't on that play. Like, it was like it's just so happened to be I wasn't on that play. So I saw it all develop. Like, it was nuts, insane. Man.
And wasn't it? I mean, like, you could, after Travis, so take it back. Travis breaks that screen pass. That place was loud. Like,
I tell people before, this all the time. Wasn't it shaking?
It was
like you could feel
the vibration.
It really
feel the vibrations in that stadium, right? And it erupted. And before that stadium, it was South Carolina, was the loudest I've ever been in, but that stadium overtook it like night and day. And you could actually feel, like, to George's point, you could actually feel the stadium like shaking. And what people don't understand is they were so silent. You, like a church mouse, because, you know, they put us way up atop Anila's stadium, and it was like a church mouse in there. They couldn't believe what just had happened. And what had happened was we stepped on their faces and broke them. Oh, man, it was great. It was great. To people that if you ever heard this, that haven't heard this before, but did you know that Larry didn't know what a hobnail boot was?
I think I heard that, but I don't think
I don't know what it was.
Didn't he make it up?
No. So
it's a real thing.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a German boot that they used to wear with the soldiers.
Facts.
The soldiers is spike. This is like hobnail boot. Like, that's really what it was. But
he didn't know.
So no, he didn't. That was just his the greatness of him, right? It just rolled off his tongue. And so he's in the locker room doing an interview for like one of the CBS or whoever was doing the game that week. And he's getting asked, he's like, "Well, Mr. Mutson, what is a hobnail boot?" Smoking a cigar. "The hell if I know." And I turned to Larry. I was like, "Huh? You don't even know." He didn't even know what a hobnail boot is. So fast forward, I ended up meeting his grandson about 10 years later, and he told me that he would come over to his grandfather's house, and his dad was the caretaker, so he would go with his dad. And that week, Larry had always forgot, you know, they had got him a clicker, but he would leave that TV on because he wanted to take it off himself, but he had fell asleep watching old German movies. So that was where, like, it came from. For those who didn't know that story, that was pretty interesting too when I heard that. Yeah. So
that's crazy.
And he just made it work.
What is the craziest story you've ever gotten from a Georgia fan about, you know, where they were or what they did when that play happened? Because I would imagine any Georgia fan that meets you immediately goes into, "Let me tell you, you know, how I felt when I watched you make that play."
Right. I think I have the craziest story, and I'll tell you why. Because before the plane touched down in Athens, I had broke up with my girlfriend. Well, I was going out that night, bro. I wasn't even gonna lie. I was not going to even fake the funk that day. It wasn't gonna be fair to her. I was gonna lay that day up, baby. So, dude, hey, listen, kudos to her. She knows who she is. She was the real one, but I wasn't gonna lie to you, baby. So,
wow.
No, listen,
when you make when you make Georgia history like that, that might be the best move, man. You remember when I think Quincy was out. I think Shock was. I forgot what the case was, but Corey Phillips started or played with us at Kentucky.
Yes, sir.
And like, When we came back from Kentucky, he was the man.
What?
If you ask, three sheets to the wind. If you ask him about that play, he'll tell you like it was unbelievable. Like, when you make Georgia history, man. Right. Like,
well, George, you ain't telling that story right, because just a week before in practice, right, Quincy was the man, right? So we didn't need Corey Phillips at the time. So Coach Corey threw a pass in practice. I swear to God, y'all. Yeah. Coach Donnie said, "What was that, Corey? That is the worst pass I've ever seen in my life. That shit belongs to the Smithsonian Institute." So you have that the week before, and then Chris and Corey's got to play. And I mean, at that point, you can look. Hey, Rick James was in the house, right? You could put a fur coat on Corey, and he was the best. Coach Donnie was almost handed him the coat and the fur and the fur hat to go with it, because he was the man, right? Now, yes, what was he saying about that pass, Coach? But just the week before, Corey had threw a pass. Because he, you know, Corey was Corey, you know.
He was the backup QB. You just chilling.
He was the backup QB. He was chilling. He wasn't worried about this. Quincy's the man. He ain't going to have the QC. So he's just having fun in practice. And he rocket shooted a pass that was over this raw receiver's head. And Coach Donnie lit into his ass.
So what y'all were saying now that, you know, first of all, you broke up with your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Right. You I'm basically on the plane. I don't even want to even imagine what it's like to be a back-to-back national champion what life is like.
Oh, my
Georgia.
God. Listen, them boys.
And I ain't going to throw them out there, but there's some cats that are still with their girls. And I'm like, oh, boy, I hope this don't get out to their girls. But hope they're not watching this episode.
I know, right? I know. Hey, listen, these boys are much more mature than we were ever, right? We just didn't, you know.
We didn't have social media.
We didn't have social media. We had common sense. I mean, listen, we got lucky in Georgia and we dodged that bullet with no social media.
Right.
Boy, shoot. You said, because at plenty of time, man, I was sleeping. I don't know what you're talking about. Why do you answer your phone? I was sleeping. You was no pictures. It was no pictures back then, boy. You couldn't find me. It was no tracker 360 on my phone. All that stuff where you put that. What is that? The air tag or whatever. Air tag. Man, listen, nonsense. Total nonsense. I would not advise. I don't know how these guys do it nowadays, but you know, to your point. They deserve everything because these guys work hard, man. And it's showing out there, man. You know, they just find a way week in and week out. As I look at Georgia, man, I'm so impressed with what Kirby has done with that program. You know, he's came in and he's built a powerhouse dynasty. Right. And everybody year in and year out says, this is going to be the year that the dynasty breaks up and they're losing so many people. And you lost 17 people last year to the draft, and you lost two in 2 years. You got the, you know, Philadelphia's got a starting 53-man roster, you know, and all that. They could say what they want. But somehow, some way, he keeps reloading and coming right back. Right, he ain't going nowhere. He on that porch, and he ain't leaving. He ain't leaving that porch. Yep.
They, you know, you gotta, they have a way of doing things that doesn't change no matter who's on that team.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And so that's huge. Yeah. You know, he don't waver with anything.
Right.
You know, he figure out where to tweak here and there, but the foundation, the basis of that team, does not change.
Right.
And so,
what do you know? This week, you know, Tennessee always goes to that that fast paced offense, and I think that hinders them sometimes, right? Because honestly, three and out, that you can't get in the rhythm. So with our big guys and our defense playing as well as they have been, I think that's going to be a factor in this game. And if we can methodically move that ball the way that we have been, and those running backs look good last week, boy.
They're looking good now.
They look good. It's good to have those health.
Like, it's like a repeat of last year for Kendall. Like, mm-hmm. he got stronger at the end. Like, last week, you know, he could jump cut, you know what I mean? He could run with power, you know, he can get out a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, he's looking much better than he did early on. Much, when I say much, it's like night and day almost.
For real, you know, for real. And I heard that he's not even at full capacity yet, so which is even scarier. Right,
yeah.
For a while it felt like
we had one back and then maybe some more. Man, now we got two really strong ones. And then those young guys came at the end last week.
Man. Those they look good, man. It looked like we're getting healthy and stronger. And peaking at the right time, if that's a thing, right? I don't think I think playing good football, not peaking, playing good football at the right time, because now we're healthy and everybody's in sync. Uh-huh. You know, because we always found a way, regardless whether you call it peaking or not. I mean, a win is a win, and until you beat the champ, you could talk about it. But guess what? When you still undefeated, and those how many? When's the last time we lost?
Last time we December lost was 2021.
Yeah, that's a long damn time, man. That's a long damn time. So people get close. I know it. They licking their chops. You know, Auburn. Hey, on the ropes. If it was a fifth. Y'all, everybody talks about. Hey, we almost had you, and then they go like this.
Jerome, we lost some of your sound.
Can you hear me?
There you go. Yeah, okay. Back on now.
I was saying, don't be a hand clapper. You know, although, you know, when you get up and you
we used to have fines for that.
Don't be a hand clapper, man.
You know what that is,
Grant? They said that we got close. They always clap their hands.
Are we watching film? If we watching film, like from practice or whatever, or the game, and like you mess up, and then you're like, sometimes guys get a little Superman. They'd be like, the coach would be like 5, 10, 15. Head clap. And you know, everybody in the room was snitching. big snitching.
You know what I mean? You didn't have to snitch, George. The eye in the sky don't lie.
Coach, rewind that. Rewind that.
The eye in the sky don't lie, man. It's right there. Damn it.
Hey, Vermont. Veron, you got a unique view, though. I mean, I wanted to bring this up because, you know, one, you're a Georgia alum. I mean, you're a DGD. You follow the team. You follow the program. But you also have a son, you know, who's one of the top backs in the country. I mean, the elephant's in the room, even though it's an elephant. You know what I mean? You get a chance to see both programs. Yeah, no pun intended. But you get a chance to see both programs from a unique view. In your opinion, what is similar and what is different than these two programs right now? Because we do have an SEC championship game that's going to come December 2nd.
Right. So the similarities is that they're both high power program, coach really well, right? And let me go back. I, and Justice knows that, I'm a Justice Haynes fan. I love my son, father, son, everybody who got kids. Know that I'm always going to be a fan of my kid, but I bled sweat and tears to where my university is right here, right? So I'll bleed red and black, and his mama going to tell you the same thing. His mama went to Georgia, and she going to say she, you know, red and black is where, you know, but we cheer for Justice and, you know, where he is right now in his program. So if y'all see me at the SEC game, I'm being all black. I'm being all black, right? So just for the record. But the programs, the two programs are the similarities are that they're coached very well. No, that's make no mistake about that. They both want to establish some kind of run. And defense both balls out. I think the similarities come on the defensive side more so. I think now that Alabama has found their quarterback, right, and where Georgia knew who theirs was, right, and that's where the similarities and the differences lie. But to me, it's going to come down to the fewest mistakes. You know, two programs that have played against each other, know each other's. These kids all could have went to either school, right? Some have transferred from school to school, right? They know their identities and what each other is trying to do. Played against each other in high school and all that, and I think it's going to come down to who create turnovers on defense, right? And then eliminate penalties, stupid penalties, especially pre-snap penalties, and then hold on to that football. Methodically move that football, run that, and eat that clock up. But I don't know how you stop Brock Bowers. And that's just me. I mean, that guy right there is playing, I mean, every single week. You know where it's going. I mean, everybody in the stands, everybody that's watching TV knows where the ball is going. And it just somehow he is always in the right spot at the right time and catching a touchdown. So,
yeah.
If they can find a way to put 12 people on block, Brock, maybe they'd be effective. But I don't think they got that many. That many's allowed on the field, man. So good luck.
Facts. Yeah. So, you know, speaking of Brock, I mean, you played with some pretty good tight ends yourself, right? I mean, you were in Pittsburgh with some dang good tight ends. I already know that. What makes him unique in your view? Because, I mean, everybody talks about it. Everybody has a different perspective. What is so unique about him? I know George has talked about it. George has said, hey, that dude could have went first round as a freshman. But in your personal opinion, what's your view on him?
What do you classify him as, right? Everybody says he's a tight end, but really, is he? Is he? Right. He's just an athlete. He's just Like, arguably, he does everything at an elite level, right? He runs like a wide receiver. He's shifty like a running back, right? I seen him catch a pass, his first pass that showed everybody that the ankle was healthy, and he juked that kid and went up, you know, and then he has a little oomph to give you if you want to get brolic with him, right? And mm-hmm. he pops. He does everything at an elite level where you can't really just say that he's weak in any one thing category. So to me, he just stars all across the – usually you can find and exploit somebody's weakness. He doesn't have any. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would say about Brock.
Well, and I mean, I think, you know, all of the physical gifts you just listed off, but the mentality, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, how many guys have we seen in recent years that were in line to be, you know, top 10 or first round draft picks that they get injured late in their senior year and, you know, for very good reasons, they decide not to come back because they want to protect that draft stock. They want to get ready for the draft. And I totally respect that, right? They should, okay. if that's what they feel like is the best for them. But to be back out, you know, 26, 27, 28 days after having surgery on your ankle, when you know, you might be a top five, top 10 pick, and then to go out and play as many snaps as he did, like, it's just, it's unique, man. And I mean, I do think it speaks to kind of the culture that Kirby's built over there. And it's a pretty powerful thing when your best players are also like your best leaders, right? And I think that's what you get with Brock Bowers.
Right, right. And to your point, like, you have guys right now, forget a season. They're trying to talk about whether they're going to play in the playoffs or in the bowl games and stuff like that. And I'm like, that wasn't even an option for us, George, right? We're going to play. Like, this is what I signed up for, right? This is my teammates. Like, I understand, and that's them, whatever they do. But for us, we were going to play, right, regardless. Yeah. And then to top it off, you talk about a guy who is just, I mean, no nonsense, shows up and shows. We all knew about his dedication to football and his commitment to his physical working more, doing more than the other man as a freshman, right? And then, you know, I think it's all unfolding, and it's no surprise to anybody when they see his success on the field. But he's the
perfect, just coming, like, just looking, like, in my background of scouting, like, he's the perfect prospect.
Absolutely. Like,
he's perfect.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm assuming he's gonna have excellent background when they do that. I'm assuming his tight ends have, you know, from playing football, playing fullback, tight ends have a big job in an offense. Mm-hmm. You know, they block. They kick,
especially now that the fullback is removed.
Yeah, they have a lot of responsibilities in the offense, and he does that. So I know he's smart. Like, he's gonna check every. Yeah. He's going to check every single box in the pre-draft process. And I wish I was still scouting so I could see what it would look like from behind the scenes. Just, you know, putting a grade on that guy. I'm pretty sure it's going to be, you know, it's going to be what we call a blue, which is, you know, excellent, top tier, top of the food chain. But, like, everything from off field, on field, he's going to check every box. And that's impressive.
To me, those guys don't come along. That's like
a Peyton Manning. He's a unicorn for sure.
That's like Peyton Manning. You knew Peyton was going, like, he checks all the box, right? As far as you're going to be a better team with him on the roster, right? Because he's going to make everybody else better. And those guys don't come along too often. It's they're very few people that checks every box. So Brock checks every box.
Well, we got them Vols again this weekend.
Yeah, man.
And hopefully it don't come down to a hobnail boot play. But me and a few of, you know, a few guys that you know we're going to head up there this weekend.
Yep.
Old Charles Grant.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Big Snacks. We're going to head up there. We're gonna head up there this weekend and see what we can do, man.
Man, listen, you guys have a great time. Be safe up there. You know.
I hope it's a blowout. I don't want to be up there nervous and stuff and they have given them opportunity to talk trash. Like we went down to the Auburn game too, and you know, for a minute it was kind of sketchy. You know, I wasn't worried, you know what I'm saying? But for a minute it was like, okay, I don't want to hear these people's. Let's go ahead and get this done. I don't, you know.
Hey, George, you know only two kind of people wear orange, right? You know, hunters and convicts. So, no, man, it should be fun, man. We go tear them a new one. That's in my opinion. You know, they're gonna try to bark a little bit, but what's the dog name?
Smokey? Smokey or something like that?
Gonna get smoked.
Smokey ain't barking.
Yelping.
That little poodle. That ain't gonna be enough.
Hey, Veron, before you get ready to get up out of here soon, I got a question to ask you because, I mean, this is something that's in the news right now, right? We're talking about Michigan. We're talking about Jim Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. And I know, being a Steeler man, you got some experience with some teams that were, you know, cheating and trying to steal, Super Bowls from us.
Y'all are opening
some big cans of worms.
Hey, man, I ain't afraid. You know what I mean? I got Big George backing me up. What are your thoughts on the Michigan saga, you know, thing that's going on right now? And then, you know, kind of backtrack and go to your thoughts of what happened with that Patriot thing.
So definitely I agree. You know, if it does come out to be true and it is, it's cheating, period. You got caught, pay the penalty, pay the price, like we all do. And honestly, should be removed. I love what Shannon said, should be removed from the college playoff, because here you go, here it is, that now that's going to shine a different kind of light. If they do happen to make the championship, you're going to be talking about they cheated, they were in there. That's going to be a different issue, and that's going to come out too. So to nip it in the bud and prevent anybody from doing it again, that's how you stop the deflategate, or however you want to do it, is you just totally make a statement, right? And you make a hard statement. So, right. You know, it's no slapping on the wrist with this. You know, sure, the kids are going to be, and I get it, but the kids are affected if the star player gets in trouble too. Like, you know, if he can't play, you do get a, like, if 90% of my offense is through my quarterback and somehow my quarterback does some knucklehead stuff and is suspended, guess what? We all feel that, right? So guess what? Mm-hmm. Your head coach, you're the leader of the damn team. You got caught, bro. Now, does it go on? I don't know. I can't speak for everybody. I don't know. Maybe it does. But you got caught.
Right. I know we talked about it before, and George has mentioned, you know, That's just the thing, you know. People steal signs. I mean, that's part of the game. But I think with anything else, it was just them going behind the veil and having people on sidelines. And I mean, some of
the glasses.
Yeah, as it unfolded, you know, at first when it first came out, I was like, okay, people steal signs. Like, you still got to play the game. Like, I wasn't really, I didn't really care too much. But as it all the info unfolded, it's kind of like, this is kind of weird. Because first I looked at it like all they were doing was the advanced scouting. The same thing I used to do in the pros. I was in advanced. I advanced games. I got up in the press box. I had my binoculars. All that was, it was fine and dandy. It was legal. You know what I mean? But none of that is legal in college ball. So I thought he was essentially doing advanced scouting, which was illegal. I didn't realize it was this
espionage.
Right. I didn't realize it was what it was. And like, yeah, you got to do something about that.
And
if it's really
glasses, you took it to the glasses and all that. I mean, come on, bro.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think like the thing that really put it over the edge for me was when the report came out saying that they were basically giving signs of teams that they didn't want to play against in the playoff to opponents on their schedule. Like, that's trying to basically set the whole
allegedly.
No, it was in the Big Ten's letter that came out from the lawyers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's damn.
Wow.
That's like, hey, George, crazy, you know that cousin that he lose that basketball game? He ain't waiting. He taking his ball and he going take home. You know what I mean? I'm not waiting for next.
So they some professional. Some professional haters.
See, that's why I had to bring it up, because I knew Big Haynes would understand. Because look, we should have about, you know, two or three more Super Bowl championships in Pittsburgh. But we can have that conversation off here. I ain't gonna throw them out there
No, let's throw them out there, because every time we damn play over there, how is everybody on the same system and our headphones ain't working?
There you go.
Ben's got to run to the damn sidelines to get his goddamn plays. Like, hey, and then run back and get him tied. And then, oh, okay. And then this is when we had the scouting reports, George.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They would have, like, somebody forgot something in their room one time, right? So we went back up there and they had somebody in our rooms, like, looking through the garbage to see if they found the scout, like, if anybody forgot their books or playbooks or whatever. I was like, whoa, we didn't even, like, the dude went downstairs, got on the bus, was like, oh, shoot, let me run upstairs. He was like, man, somebody was in my room and just, like, tearing it up. That's other level stuff, man. You know, and here's the thing, to me, you don't have to do that to the level that they do it. They're good.
Yeah.
You are good. If you just do like that's what's so disheartening to me. And those two teams are really talented. And if they believe in themselves the way that the coach was crying and saying that he did. I'm just saying. Yeah. Practice more.
All right, Big Haynes. We appreciate you coming on, brother. We definitely appreciate you coming on. We got to finish up some stuff tonight. But you know what? Before you go, let everybody know where to find you, besides at the SEC championship game in All Black. But let them know where to find you and, you know, all the good things you're doing out there in the community.
Yeah, my social media is Veron Haynes. You can find me on Twitter. I just got back onto Instagram. You see a bunch of my dogs over there. We have a French Bulldog breeding company, and that's what I'm doing. I'm a Masonic man. I'm Mason, so our stuff is about giving back to widows and orphans. You know, we tend to do community events every month, and George is a part of that, which is really cool. So you guys will get some more information on that. And honestly, I'm just stay out the way, man. And if you see me, just holler at me, man. That's it. I'm one of the guys.
All right, Big Haynes, we appreciate you, brother. You're welcome anytime. Come back on.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Appreciate you, man. Thank you. All right, brother.
All right. All right, Big George, man. That was like just a conversation. I like it when it's just a conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not an interview, but a conversation. Right? It just kept going. It was a good thing.
It's always good when they just go. They just talk. Fred was like that.
Yeah,
like we just let Fred go.
That was a whole different personality of Fred that I saw. I mean, I don't think people were hitting me up. They were like, man, I ain't never see Fred like that. He's always quiet. And I said, no, man, that was different. That was a good interview with Fred.
But it always boils down to the interviewer. You got to know when to let things breathe and you know what to ask and whatnot. Just let guys feel comfortable. You know, when they feel comfortable, they talk.
Hey, but let's get into this, man.
What were you guys talking about when I got on, man? Late, did y'all was talking about the game? Or
we were talking about Ole Miss. We haven't even gotten to Tennessee yet, but yeah, we're about to get into it now. About to get into it. So what's your thoughts, fellas, on Tennessee? I mean, you get ready to go up there to Neyland Stadium, George.
I know they coming off getting mollywopped. Like, what was that about? Like,
Missouri's like, good, man. I try to tell everybody.
They are good, but they got, like, that game at?
It was in Mizzou.
It was in Mizzou?
Yeah.
But still.
That
was a backhanding.
Yeah. They handled that game from the beginning to the end. And it wasn't even just a mollywop. It was just complete domination, man. It was, you know how you make a dog submit and just roll over on their back? That's what Tennessee looked like at the end of that game, man. Just rolling over on their back and just submitting to, you know, to the to Missouri. But it made me think about this game coming up. And one, Tennessee has played bad on the road anyway. All their big time losses have been on the road. They have not played well on the road at all. They played better at home, obviously, but they haven't played anybody at home. You know, so when it comes down to it, you know, when your biggest game and your biggest victories are against a South Carolina team or something like that at home, I mean, that's not big. That's not anything that's really been too much of a challenge. Now, all of a sudden, you got a Georgia team coming in, number one ranked all over the place now in the college football playoffs as well. A team that's a lot more disciplined, a team that has a lot more talent. I don't know how Tennessee, outside of this being a, you know, big time venue, in a fan base that's going to be going nuts, right? Because last year, what we did in terms of pumping up the volume and Sanford Stadium, making it the loudest of, you know, that it's ever been, I'm sure Neyland Stadium is going to be the exact same. I still do not see where Tennessee has any type of advantage in this particular game. I know Big Haynes talked about them spreading the ball around, but this is one of those seasons where they don't spread the ball around that much because they don't have the guys on the outside to do it. They've actually relied more on the run game. They got the guy with the rocket arm and Joe Milton, but Joe Milton has not been very accurate. A lot of their plays come on big plays, big splash plays, which they should for a guy that can throw the ball 100 yards in the air. But on top of that, it's been the run game that's really kept them involved in a lot of different games and them dominating when they have won games, but they haven't beaten anybody that you want to write home about. Graham, what's your thoughts? I mean, I know you got the analytics and the stats and everything else to kind of bring to the table. what are your thoughts going into this game?
I mean, I think if you look at Tennessee the last 3 years, you know, 2021 and 2022, those were two very potent offenses. Georgia did a good job of making them look less potent, but this Tennessee offense really has not, you know, it hasn't been that explosive. And some of that has been on Joe Milton. I think I think that his intermediate accuracy leaves some things to be desired at times. And like those little chunks, you know, that's what you have to be able to get consistently to drive the football down the field and score when you're not hitting those deep bombs. And like he can throw the ball 70 yards on a rope, but there's no Jalin Hyatt anymore. There's no Cedric Tillman anymore. And now they've lost Dante Thornton for the season, who was I thought, their most talented outside receiver. So, like, I think, you know, last year this game was basically, it came down to Tennessee was going to take their shots down the sideline. And, you know, some of those shots, they got behind Georgia and Hooker just didn't hit them. But, you know, I don't know that they've got the guys that are really going to stress Georgia like that this year, especially with the talent Georgia has at safety over the top of all that. So, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the offense in SEC play, like, they've been very inconsistent, but I just don't see them being, you know, a team that has the makeup of what is beaten or stressed a Kirby Smart defense in recent years, which is, you know, quarterbacks who can throw accurately on the run, elite wide receivers, like multiple future first rounders, and then high level pass protection. Their offensive line's gotten a little bit better as they've gotten healthy, but their linebackers are beat up and not playing well. And that defense, right. I think there was some hype that they were better this year. And, you know, once they stopped playing like UConn or a really bad Virginia team, I don't know that they really are that much different than the 2022 unit.
Agree. Mm-hmm. Agree. When you look at it, this would be my philosophy if I'm Josh Heupel. I would just try to run the football. I would pull a Michigan versus Penn State, and I would try to run the ball 30 straight times. I mean, I think that's your biggest threat to a Georgia team that hasn't always played tough in the trenches. Obviously, they've gotten better as the season has gone on. We've seen them get a little bit more stout against the run. Those young boys are now stepping up. They're setting the edge better. But if I were them, I would try to lean on Georgia as much as possible because that's been the Achilles heel. And then take your chances on big shots outside the hash, hoping for pass interference calls or maybe some big plays with the big arm. I mean, I think that's your only shot because they do not have the explosive offense like they previously did. I just don't – going back to last week against Ole Miss when I thought, you know, Ole Miss was going to – be able to have a couple splash plays, that was it, and then Georgia would expose them. They did. The same thing I think is going to happen in this particular game, and it's not going to be something that was in Athens 27-10. I think, you know, Kirby puts up 41, 42, 44 points again, and I'm going to be very surprised if Tennessee hits the 14-point mark. Ooh. Very surprised.
What is Tennessee giving up on defense? I mean, on defense. What's their point per game?
Right now, they're giving up. Let's see what they're giving up.
I think it was like per play.
They're giving up
per game
points per game.
I think it was somewhere around yards of play.
How many points per game though? I think it was like 22 points per game or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think, you know, again, it's like, let's contextualize what they've done against actual, you know,
competition,
power five opponents. Like, right. They beat UConn 59-3 2 weeks ago, and all of a sudden there was some Tennessee fans in my DMs that are, you know, in my Twitter mentions that I hadn't heard from in a couple months, and then they I don't know where they are this week yet, but I mean, like, you know, Tennessee gave up 34 to Bama, they gave up 27 to Kentucky. Like, Devin Leary hadn't thrown for 100 yards in a game for like a month, and then when they played Tennessee, he goes off for
28 to 39.
What?
And they should have won that game. Kentucky should have won that game.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, they held Texas A&M to 13. They held South Carolina to 20. You know, like, they – but, like, Florida scored 29 on them, and mm-hmm. I think 26 of that was in the first half, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Like, that Florida offense that you saw in Jacksonville put up 26 and a half on them. So, I mean, I think that I think the danger for Georgia in this game is that there's only been one other true road game that Georgia's played this year, and that was at Auburn. Like, Vanderbilt mm-hmm. doesn't really count in my eyes. You know, the cocktail parties of a 50-50 environment. And so mm-hmm. Neyland will be rocking, and mm-hmm. Georgia has a bad habit of giving up opening possession touchdowns on offense. I mean, they've actually done it the last 2 years in a row against Tennessee, and then no mas. But mm-hmm. I do think Georgia needs to manage the game from that perspective, and, you know, not create a situation where all of a sudden these guys start believing and you get a crowd behind them, because 108,000 people is a powerful force. There's a lot.
Listen,
you know,
it is a different beast. Those kids, we got a lot of youngsters playing too. Like, they're gonna get a taste of something they've never had before. Never. I don't know how loud it's gonna be with it. It should be loud like this. It should be loud, but yeah, it's different, you know. And if you're a young guy. Going in there for the first time, it's intimidating. It's definitely intimidating. It's more intimidating when they're good, though. I'll tell you that much. when you got Sean Ellis and Albert Haynesworth and those guys being on you, it's a little bit different. John Henderson. Al Wilson. Yeah, it's a little bit different.
And they don't have that, but, Big George. They don't have that.
It's still, you know, 108,000. If they get going, it could get loud. But man, our guys, man, they're just so locked in, man. They play maturely. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, and I guess it's because they don't have a choice, so you won't play. You know, they have the roster to say, get it right or you won't play. You know what I mean? And so mm-hmm. those guys, they go out there and they do what they're supposed to do at a high level. Yeah. You know what I mean? So we're going to see.
I mean, the question that I was having, like, I was driving down the road earlier talking to a buddy about this game, and you know, I got to a point in the conversation where I was like, I really don't know. I'm having a hard time coming up with a scenario where Tennessee, like, you know, beats Georgia, aside from just a total, you know, like a four turnover kind of, you know, just crazy type meltdown. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that Georgia can't go up there and find themselves in a closer game than a lot of people expect because of the crowd and all of that stuff. But it is, you know, Joe Milton would have to play a game on Saturday that he has never come close to playing really in his college football career. And then their defense has to be totally different. I mean, I think that's what's different animal about this Georgia team in 2023 is, like, you know, in 2021, it was like, well, like, you know, if you can manage to have some stuff go your way, maybe get some turnover luck or something and score, you know, into the 20s or 30s and you got a good defense, like, you could see the scenario playing out where 2021 Georgia would lose. Mm-hmm. You know, like 2022 Georgia, there were some things that, you know, you're like, well, okay, like, if the defense struggles and you're able to do these certain things to that offense, but like the way this offense is playing right now and just getting back a first round right tackle and a top five pick at tight end and a healthy lad and like all of those things, it's just like, well, you know, can you hold Georgia under 40? Like, I don't think you can really hold Georgia under 40 if they're playing wide open for four quarters with tempo, unless you're like one of the 10 to 15 best defenses in the sport right now. And so, you know, I don't think Tennessee has that. So it's like, even if Tennessee scores 30, I have a hard time seeing them win this game. I have a hard time fathoming them scoring that much, but
yeah,
Georgia's offense, it's just, it does change the equation in some ways a little bit, man. Like how locked in they are and how many different ways they can beat you.
That's what it comes down to. Go ahead, Georgia.
As much as Georgia scores, it's just, like you said, it's hard to fathom someone beating them because they too would have to score a lot more than they can. Mm-hmm. Most teams can't score that much. 40 points is a lot of points. You have to score that much to beat this Georgia team. Even if you call it 30s, you know, and it's hard to score 30 points on this Georgia team. Like, so it's kind of like what you were talking about. You can't see a scenario in which Tennessee could beat Georgia. Like, if you think about it, though, just think, like, do you think about in nationally, who do you see? Just think about it, like, who has the personnel to run Georgia out of the stadium?
George, I'm going to answer this question.
Personnel and coaching to run Georgia out of the stadium. Like, is this a tough task? Like, you have to play perfect football and you still might lose.
Did you know the top four defenses in the nation in terms of points per game are all in the Big Ten? Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, and I'm trying to think who the other, it's one other team in the Big Ten. And it made me think about Michigan and the way people are talking about Michigan's defense and how high powered their defense is. No, the Big Ten is just down. The Big Ten is just, I mean, when Michigan can go to Penn State and run the ball 30 something odd times and win the game without passing, it goes
eight
to show
pass
you
pass attempts in a game.
Right. It yeah. goes to show you how bad their the play is right now. It's just that they're the best.
Come into Athens. Exactly. Where you play Georgia at and only throw the ball eight times.
Right. It's not gonna happen. So
it's not gonna go well.
George, so when you ask that question, who can do that? Who can actually shut Georgia's offense down at the same time being able to score on Georgia's defense at will? There's not very many teams that can do that except for Georgia.
Yeah.
They're the only team that you would have to replicate exactly who they are, what they do, the type of personnel that they can continue to bring in, and the coaching to be able to do that. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. And I'm not saying they're going to run the table or anything like that, because it's a week-to-week process, right? Mm-hmm. We already talked about this team has to be locked in.
They do have top 5 to 7
yeah,
offense and defense.
Yeah,
like not many teams put that together. You right. know what I mean? You might have a team that's a top, they might have a top 10 offense, but they might be 60th in defense. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, Georgia is
like Alabama. Top.
Mm-hmm. Right. They're top.
They're 64th in total offense right now. People don't realize that.
Yeah. Well, because they're going back and they're looking at, you know, was it Milroe's last 2 or 3 games? I mean, that's an anomaly. No. Not many quarterbacks are going to run for 5 touchdowns. Right. And, you know, I mean, those are blown cover. And it was against a team that you know, opens up the entire defense and allows big gaping holes to come through. So you're not going to do that against everybody. But that's an interesting question that you asked, George, because I don't think there's anybody that can do that except Georgia.
Like, I can't see who would, you know what I mean? At the same time, I didn't expect Ohio State to be close to Georgia last year. And they end up playing the CJ play out of his mind, though. So that's a little.
But it goes to show you, I mean, he's still playing out of his mind. So it goes to show you, if you got a guy that's that good and a team that, you know, obviously Ohio State. Exactly. But Ohio State didn't have the defense. If they had a defense, they probably would have beaten Georgia. But no, but not everybody has the offense and the defense that can, you know, control a game on both sides of the field, plus the coaching like Georgia. So what are you guys, what's your predictions in this game then? I mean, I think I gave mine. I'm going to go on a limb and I'm going to say Georgia 45-14. I just don't see it. Tennessee being able to move the ball that much.
Graham, who has the better offense, Ole Miss or Tennessee?
Ole Miss by far, I think.
That's what I was thinking. And which kind of puts me in the same area as Lamar. So I'm going to – what did you say, Lamar?
45-14, Georgia.
Dang it. I'm going to say – I'm going to say 42 to 13.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in the same ballpark with you guys. I think that with Tech coming up and, you know, like I could see Georgia basically getting a little more conservative in the second half, trying to get out of there clean. You know, that's stadium has been tough on Georgia players at times over the years in terms of injuries and all that. So, I mean, that's priority number one with Alabama up in the distance. But I also think Georgia get to a spot in this game. You know, I mean, Georgia's backup offensive line looks pretty good right now. those young running backs we were talking about earlier, like, you know, I think that Georgia might end up tacking a little bit on at the end, even if they're kind of are in a clock mode. So I am going to say, what'd you say, George?
42-13.
I was going to say 41 to, I'll say 41 to 17.
Let's go.
There you go. There you go.
All right around each other.
Well, I tell you what, there's not very many big games nationally in terms of the top 25, so I'm going to leave it there. I think everybody just kind of wants to see Michigan lose, but but they're playing Maryland this week, and I could see this exact same thing that they did to Penn State, just running through them like crazy. But besides that, fellas, anybody else got anything to talk about tonight before we get up out of here?
No, man. Sir. I'm just going to enjoy the game this weekend. First time.
Have fun, man.
My first time in Knoxville since the Hobnail Boot game.
Ooh.
Wow. So, it's like homecoming for my man, George.
Yeah.
Yeah, first time in Knoxville since then. But I'll be – hopefully I can find a good tailgate and, you know, have a good time.
Yeah, you'll have fun, man. Downtown Knoxville is it's a cool place. And I used to go to a trade show there like every spring and always enjoyed it. It's nice.
Cool. I'm looking forward to it, man. And also a W.
Yes, sir. As always. So you can come back on and say, you know what? The dog's still undefeated. All right, y'all. Hey, as always, see you at 100 Sanford. Go Dogs.
See you.
Thank you for listening to the 100 Sanford Podcast. Tune in weekly to hear fresh content from the 100 Sanford Podcast every Thursday, but also with some pop-up shows every now and then as news breaks. You can also follow the content on our website, www.100sanfordpodcast.com, and email us at dogs@100sanfordpodcast.com. Lastly, reach out to us on social media streams. For Twitter, it's @100sanford, but on IG, TikTok, Facebook, and other accounts, it's 100 Sanford Podcast. All right, folks, that's it. And as usual, see you at 100 Sanford.